ladies and gents. Welcome to Snell Nation. Sir Thomas here as always. And what we're going to dive into tonight is the topic of father absence. And this came up through a couple of different social media platforms. It's something that I've discussed at great length in the past. And there was a lot of goodness in the discussion, but I just find it interesting how little that discussion has gone towards the mainstream. So I just figured, hey, why not? Why not give it a go and have a little chat about it here and see where this conversation takes us. So, of course, I have to go with a quote. This one comes from Abu Kamdar, and it's, fathers take note, children will always remember the man who treated them with love and affection. Don't be an absent father. So we've had a lot of stats just thrown out there covering some of this. But I felt it's important to kind of lead things off. Of course, you know, I've got to throw a quote out there. Got to throw a good quote. But let's go ahead and let's get some hard facts out there, a little bit of data. And this comes from the National Fatherhood Initiative. You can find them at fatherhood.org. And they have an article here that dives into, they call it Father Absence, the crisis in America. And their information comes from the U.S. Census Bureau. And what they found was 18.3 million children, that's one in four, live without a biological step or adoptive father in the home. And there's a breakdown that shows just how that elevates the probability of certain negative factors being a part of their childhood and leading off into adulthood. So here's just a few that I'm going to throw out there before I dive into this any further. So in the area of poverty, it gives you a four times greater chance of sort of living in poverty, and then kind of growing and carrying that on into your adult life. There's also, you're seven times more likely to become pregnant as a teen. You're more likely to have behavioral problems, more likely to face abuse and neglect, a two times greater risk of infant mortality, and that deals with mom to child health. You're more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol, more likely to go to prison, two times more likely to suffer from obesity. You're more likely to commit crime, and you're two times more likely to drop out of high school. There are a couple other charts that go into a few other factors, but those are just a couple of highlights. Now, this, of course, this conversation is focused on father absence and on fathers and the role they play in the lives of their children and just how important it is. But it goes without saying just how important, you know, the other side of that is, how important the having a loving mother that's present and involved, and how critical that is. So the title of this is Father Absence, but in reality, it's more about the nuclear family in reality. So yes, the focus will be on fathers, but just, you know, understand that I am aware of the other side of it and its importance. And so with, you know, I'm going to put a little bit of myself out there, a little bit more just from my background and why this topic is such an important topic to me. You know, so I was primarily raised by my mother with the rest of my siblings, two brothers, two sisters, and she did the heavy lifting. She worked multiple jobs. She went to school to get different certifications, just whatever she needed to be successful and to kind of try to work both roles. And she did the best she could, and I believe she did a great job, all things considered. Now, those of you might be asking, oh, well, that's commendable. So where was your father? That's a great question. So I would see him periodically from time to time. There were these gaps every couple of years. I would see him. He was a Marine for a short period. And from what I've been told, was a good soldier. But from my experience with him, he wasn't necessarily a good father or a supportive father. A lot of the support I received throughout elementary school, middle school, and high school came from my mother, my uncles, and then the coaches I interacted with just through a lot of the sports programs and things that I did growing up. And that's what saved me was I had a lot of substitutes. I had my grandfather on my mother's side. I had my mom. I had my uncles. I had several great coaches in tennis and in chess and soccer, speech and debate, academic challenge, wrestling, all that stuff. And that's what kind of helped me with my development. So I was very fortunate. Unfortunately, a lot of my friends from high school, I witnessed a lot of them just take a rougher path, and they found themselves in jail, and some deceased, and some living and going from being a child working their way through poverty to being an adult and dealing with those same issues. So the having that father there, and I recall just it was mostly at when I would go to sporting events or I'd get like a medal or something like that. Those are the memories. I mean, I'm 38 years old. Those are the memories that still kind of float out there. And I think back to those moments, and it was still proud moments, still moments that I felt great about because my mother was there or uncle or someone was there that was supportive. But when you see, most of my friends, they had, both their parents and they were right there. And that reinforcement, having that figure to sort of fall behind or to guide you show you how to model yourself to become a productive adult, become a better person. It gives you just that roadmap. And that's how important it is. And it's not just for young men, but for women as well. Because kids, they look to their parents and that's it. That's, that's how they see the world. And that's the vision they have of the future. They see how, mommy and daddy interact with each other, how they handle stressful situations, how they interact with others outside of that bubble. And then, of course, they see how you interact with the children themselves. And that sort of paints the picture for them and frames things as they grow up. And a lot of times you'll see adults that have certain negative tendencies and certain, we'll say adult behavioral issues. And 9 times out of 10, it can be traced back to their childhood. There's something right where the foundation was supposed to be laid to help them become strong, confident, intelligent, productive individuals. Something was lost in there. And that's incredibly vital. And it's such an important topic, but we just don't really hear about it much in mainstream media. Every once in a great while, there'll be an article published about it. You'll see some website kind of touch on it. Boys and Girls Club, someone like that. They'll have some sort of op-ed piece or something that'll get into the New York Times or something, like deep in the New York Times. Not front page news. But I believe that it's one of the greatest issues in this country. And it's not being addressed appropriately. And I think the big reason why is because of the implications that come with that. The funny thing about problems, They officially become problems when you admit it, when you admit that it's a problem. And then once you admit it, especially if you admit it publicly in grand fashion, then you have to take action to fix it, or at least attempt to. And what we've seen over many decades is a lot of government programs and, of course, that welfare state that you hear a lot about, the welfare state, not the corporate welfare state, which is incredibly expensive and really cripples us taxpayers, but the smaller welfare state with, it used to be called food stamps. I can't remember what it's called now, but then you have, you know, housing projects, that kind of stuff. And there were periods in my childhood where we did stay in a for a short period within a rough area, kind of a housing project, and we had we were on food stamps for a short period, but of course my mother was a fighter, and she wanted us to have a better shot and ensure that we had access to certain tools to give us a chance. So she worked her butt off, you know, two jobs, three jobs, still helped us with our homework, all that good stuff. And which, you know, it worked out well, but it was not the ideal situation. And, you know, we think back and we look at these moments, because I know I'm not alone, because of, well, I laid out those stats and the data for you. You can find more on that website, fatherhood.org. But this has been an issue for decades. And we are seeing, we are hitting the peak here. And we saw it in 2020, where you saw scores of these young men and young women out there just looting stores, setting things on fire, essentially just being led along. And when I watch these things just unfold on television, you know, my thought always goes towards, or the first thought is, just where are their parents? And with me, I look, and it's just where, and I see these young men out there, and it's like, where's his father? There's no way he has a loving and an involved father in his life and would do something like this. I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's highly unlikely, because that father would be there to coach and mentor that individual and set them on the right path, as loving, caring fathers should and would do in a scenario like that. But it's just not there. So I look at it, it just feels like, it felt like I was watching, you know, two generations of just fatherless individuals that, you know, they didn't have in a true adoptive father or stepfather or their biological father, but they had maybe, I don't know, the state was their father, or maybe they connected with people on the streets and those people became their father and led them astray, which is, you know, incredibly unfortunate. But if this is something that we just continue to push aside and treat it as something that's trivial or it'll just pass on its own, you know, I believe it, you know, things could get worse. Things are incredibly bad right now. So with all that, with, you know, it's like, yeah, that's, thank you, Debbie Downer. thank you, Mr. Negativity. But I think it's important to have conversations like this. Yes, they can be difficult at times. They can be, you know, disheartening and sad, but that's how we can identify those core issues and come up with not necessarily solutions. We can at least determine what the trade-offs are and craft a real, I guess, road ahead. And for this particular core issue, yes, father absence. So then, you know, what are some solutions, or what are some positive trade-offs or angles of approach? And I think this is one of those things where it's, yeah, it goes back to Gandhi, be that change you wish to see in the world. So my father wasn't there for me, wasn't that great. And his father wasn't there for him and wasn't that great. And who knows, my father's father and and all that. But, you know, I have I have a little girl myself. She's six, and she's a little genius. And so I just make sure that I'm always there, and I listen to her, and she's very vocal. She loves to ask questions, and I just talk to her. When she asks me a question, I explain things to her, and, you know, I quiz her on math and things like that. We have nice conversations. I make sure that, you know, I reward her for her hard work. She, you know, she had some, her grades are great. So I'll take her out for ice cream and do little things with her. So there's that system there. It's really not, it's not really that complicated. But you have to care. And that's not something that can be taught. It's just something that comes natural to a lot of people. And then, unfortunately, there are some there, it just doesn't. And you can blame it on culture. Sometimes I blame it on that, on culture. You can blame it on just how desensitized we become with, through mainstream media and all the propaganda and things that's pushed down our throats. Could blame it on, you know, their parents, whatever, just, you know, pass the buck. But of course, I can't do anything about that. I have to focus on the things that are within my sphere of influence. And that's where I put my focus. So what can I do? Well, I can be the best father I can to my daughter, make sure she has everything she needs to be a productive and successful, mentally and emotionally capable adult that has that high level of health on every level. And just set her up for success and then step back and just let her grow and come into her own. So that's just some of my thoughts on father absence. And, you know, I truly hope, you know, of course, when you talk about these things, it's hard not to go racial. And a lot of people say, no, that's not healthy. Well, yes, but it's hard not to drift just a little bit towards that. And I think there's a small bit of goodness in it. But what takes that away is the short fuses that are out there. Those people that get triggered by such discussing topics like this, but then discussing that angle within the topic, just how father absence has disproportionately impacted, you know, Black communities and minority communities and that sort of thing. But the reality is father absence is such a huge problem. It crosses all racial groups. Yes, it impacts one group more than the others. But if you're going to dig deep into this and try to make a course correction, this is something where we all have to be on board. All fathers have to do the right thing and look out for their children and not just, you know, paying, you know, child support if you're not with the mother, but also, you know, devoting your time, which is just as valuable and in many cases even more valuable than your financial support, but just having that emotional support and being there for them, for your children in those big moments. It makes all the difference, and these things stick. Kids remember these things, and a lot of times it impacts the way they treat their children or the way they treat their spouses as they move on and then they have their own family. I know for me, you know, I have those memories. Fortunately, I was able to use those things as teachable moments. Hey, you know, thanks, Dad. You showed me what not to do as once I get to the position of husband and or father, I know what not to do. So that's just some of my thoughts on father absence. I would love to get some feedback. I received some on some social media platforms. There's been some good, actually, I think great dialogue. It's been, you know, 99.9% very constructive and respectful, which I love, and I definitely want to make that, hey, let's all work together. Let's make having complicated discussions great again. I'm not sure how I can squeeze that all on a hat, but I'll figure something out. But anyway, thanks for stopping by. Please feel free to shoot me a message. I appreciate your feedback. If you catch me on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, please feel free to leave me a review. I love reading through all the feedback I receive, whether it's positive or negative. I don't care as long as it's constructive, and it'll help evolve this podcast going forward. So thanks a lot. Snail Nation out.